Okay, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. Look at a verse you've never looked at before, I'm sure. Chapter 3, verse 16. and it says, all scripture, meaning all scripture. The word scripture is the word graphica in Greek. It means what's written down. So it's the written word, all scripture, and all is from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, right? Is that it? And it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay, the working translation is, all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching. And then in brackets he has what was taught, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction that is in justice. Okay? The word doctrine, that's what we're going to look at a little bit today. Doctrine is, there's two words that are translated doctrine. One is didache, D-I-D-A-C-H-E. I don't know if you care about that or not. It denotes teaching, either that which is taught or the act of teaching, the process. And didaskalia, that which is taught or the result of teaching. So those are the way it's used, nouns and verbs and all that stuff. Let's go to Matthew. Sometimes the way we think of it in English or the way it's presented in English is different from what the word says. Obviously, doctrine being what taught doesn't mean it's right, does it? It could be wrong doctrine or false doctrine. I had a teacher once in college. I took bunch of philosophy courses, and I took this one guy because I could always get an A from him. Because he would say, I don't want to be dogmatic about this, meaning I don't want to be doctrinal about it. This is not absolute. Nothing was ever absolute in his class. So no matter what you said, you couldn't be wrong, as long as it made sense. So, but we're going to look at doctrine, teaching. In chapter 15, verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. So we know about these guys. Pharisees were supposed to be schooled in God's word. But they go back to the Babylonian captivity, and they started out as a reform group. But then they developed their own theology. They would take the word of God and they would explain it according to what they believed. And there were a couple of different schools of Pharisees, Hillel being the most famous. And the guy that taught Paul was a descendant of him, some way or another. But anyway, these guys would teach things, so like where it talks about the holy day and they were only allowed to walk so many steps. Who decided how many steps you could walk before it was a sin? It was the Pharisees, you know? They just made up all this stuff, which is what religion does. True religion makes up things. So the Pharisees and the scribes, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat? So this gives us a really great understanding right off, because they're talking about not the word of God or the true law of the Old Testament, but traditions. Traditions. And, you know, people today really get, in many instances, get whacked out about traditions. You know? So anyway, But he answered and said unto them, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, he said, well, your traditions, they go against the word of God, against the commandments that God gave Moses. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Now, that's a kind of a hard verse to understand, but the gift in Mark is there's a word for it, Corban, and it means a gift devoted to God. So what the Pharisees and scribes were doing is they weren't taking care of their parents, but they were using the excuse of we're devoting our monies and our time to God as an excuse not to take care of their parents. So that's what that's all talking about. The honor not and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So this tradition went against the commandment of God to honor thy father and mother. And what honoring thy father and mother meant a lot of things, right? It didn't mean just, you know, give them respect, but it meant to obey them. It meant to help them if they needed support, help them in their old age. Whatever they were, you know, the need was, they were to help their parents. They weren't to turn their backs on them. They weren't to, you know, whatever. You know, like today, some kids take care of their parents and some don't, right? So that's what it was. Then Jesus Christ said, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. See, so here the word doctrines is used, but it's not correct, right teaching, is it? It's the command, it's the traditions of men, but they teach it as though it's the commandments of God. And they use it as an authority to really bully the people, to use it to manipulate and do what they want. The word teaching here is the word for, it says, in vain they do worship me teaching, and the word teaching is that word, didasko, one of the forms of the word, and doctrine is didaskalia, what is taught, the teaching. So they were teaching commandments made up by men as though they were from God. Along the same line or thought pattern, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4. And verse 14. It says that we, henceforth, or going forward, be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, of every wind of teaching. By the sleight of men, sleight means deceiving, by the deceiving of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. People do that all the time, don't they? They teach all kinds of crazy stuff. If we look in the world, what was deemed to be moral is now immoral. What was deemed to be immoral is now moral. What was deemed to be honest is now dishonest, and what was dishonest is now thought to be honest. I mean, the world will turn things around, and so to religions, not necessarily Christian religions, but them and others. They don't stick to God's word. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. You know, it's interesting that every once in a while somebody will come up, and this is always a red flag to me. I found something new in the Word, or there's some new light. And I'm not against learning something new by any means. And I read lots of books, not just by Dr. Wirl, but I read other books. But I'm really careful about what I accept as the truth. I have to really take time, mull it over, and then it has to fit with everything else. And if it doesn't, then I'm really hesitant or wary. Colossians chapter, chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you, carry you away through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So here, through philosophy, vain deceit, traditions, the ways of the world, we're not to be carried away. Interesting. "We know that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And the scriptures are God-breathed, and we are responsible to rightly divide the scriptures so that we might have the right instruction or the right teaching, which allows us to believe rightly. That's how Dr. Earl got to that, right? He said doctrine is how to believe rightly. Well, it's the correct teachings by the rightly divided word that allows us to believe rightly. If we're taught wrongly, then we're going to believe what? Wrongly. Don't have to be a genius to figure that out. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to give you my opinion. We're not supposed to give our opinions, but my opinion is basically that the simplest answer is usually the right answer or the best answer. And if God is who he says he is, and as loving as he is, and as forthright as he is supposed to be, God is not a man that he should lie, then he wants us to understand, right? It says that numerous places in the Bible. So it can't be difficult. It can't be, did you ever read any theology? It's mind-boggling. It really is. It's mind-boggling. The way they try to prove the Trinity is just, you know, they talk about beings and essences and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. The space-time continuum, I don't know. You know, just wacky stuff. Okay, did I say Romans 6?
Yes.
Okay, verse 16. "Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants are ye whom you obey." And the word servants is the word doulos, which could be translated bond slave, right? Or committed. "Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin once upon a time," past tense, "but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." That form of doctrine, that type of doctrine which was true. And that doctrine was the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." You know, and the way we do that is we understand the rightly divided word. We get right teaching, right instruction of the word of God. Let's go to chapter 16 of Romans. How many times have you heard about, read about people that say they know when Jesus Christ is coming back?
It's nonsense.
It's nonsense, except people believe it. Mm-hmm. Believers have believed it. Guys that were taught like we were. How did they get so pulled away? How did they get so enticed? You know, it's just really crazy. And yet, people do. Or sometimes people say, I've figured out and I have the the formula for healing. Yeah. There's no formula for healing. It has to do with believing God, believing His word. And when you believe to the point where you get healed, you get healed. You know, it may happen immediately. It may take months or years. You know, never know. But you hang in there. You keep looking to God. You keep believing. Salute one another. Verse 16, right? Did I say that?
No.
Well, I don't want 16. I want 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. It sounds pretty stiff. Sounds like excommunication. You know what excommunication means? You don't have fellowship with them. That's what it really means. And if people don't want to believe the truth of God's word or cause division, then you're not supposed to fellowship with them. You don't want to submit yourself to false doctrine or false teachings or things that aren't correct. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. The word Jesus is not in there. It just says Lord Christ. But their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know, I read a book years ago. Did you ever hear of George Washington Carver?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and then there was Booker T. Washington. They're both great believers. Booker T. Washington founded the Tuskegee Institute, and he wrote an autobiography called Up From Slavery. And it's almost prophetic, because he talks about what the black man has to do coming out of slavery and how he has to show the white man that he can work and be, you know, a good citizen. And then he talked about education, learning trades, all that stuff. But then he got to black ministers. And he said, they're only there to make money. Now, that's not true of all of them, obviously. But I remember watching a movie about Aretha Franklin, and her father was this famous minister from Chicago, I think, or Detroit, I can't remember. Anyway, and he takes her on a trip, and these white guys take his car, and he gives them the keys, and then he goes into the town, and he buys a used car, and he gives the guy cash. He says, how do you get all this cash? He says, well, I'm a minister. I'm a black minister. You know, and he had a wad. I mean, anyway, that's what he said. It was for their own bellies. Now, they're not all like that, I'm not saying. But there are ministers, white and black, all denominations, all religions, that are not in it for the purpose of spreading the truth of God, but for the benefit of enriching themselves. Okay, so let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Because the important thing is to teach what? God's word, and teach it rightly divided. Chapter 2 again, verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, everybody there? Not yet. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men. And so, verses 21 through the word using in 22 are parentheses, right? So if we just read, are you subject to ordinances in verse 20, and skip down to the end of the parentheses, says, are you subject to the ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men? Mm-hmm. Commandments and what? Instruction, teachings of men. See, and they embody touch not, taste not, handle not, which all perish with the using. You know, in the Old Testament, they did some of those things, right? They had dietary laws. They had to be cleansed and they had to be clean before they could go into the temple. But that was all what? A foreshadowing of what was to come. That Jesus Christ would take care of all that in his sacrifice. You see? And that's the point of it. Then it goes on in verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Okay, verse 23, in the Working Translation, he says, these things have an appearance of wisdom in a self-prescribed religion and humility, even to the extent of severe treatment of the body without any esteem for the gratification of the needs of the flesh. So, you know, people do fastings when they hurt themselves. You know, if you want to do something because it makes you feel like you're closer to God, I guess it's okay. But then to put it on other people, and that's what they did a lot of times. See? But even that, you know, according to the Word of God, they're not really getting any closer to God by doing those things, are they? Because it's fleshly. You know, what God cares about is, we heard it in manifestations today, He cares about our heart, what we believe in our heart, what we hold fast to in our heart. Let's go on to chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Sitteth on those things. Set your affections on those things above, or seek those things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of earth, meaning spiritual things, the things of God, the things of Jesus Christ. For we are dead, or ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What a great thing. Let's go to 1 Timothy. See, it's not about all the wacky things that religion says to do. Thank God. Chapter 1 of Timothy, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, no other teaching other than what Paul had taught Timothy to teach, no other doctrine. Just supposed to teach those teachings concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Neither give heed to fables. The word fables is myths. Myths. Mythology. Made up stuff. Fantasies. And endless genealogies. And I'm sure you understand what that is, you know. Well, my great-grandfather was a believer, and, you know, this guy did this and this did that. It doesn't matter. Do you believe? Right? How do you believe? What do you believe the truth is? Which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in believing. So do. Now, the end of the commandment is charity, the love of God out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Unfeigned means without hypocrisy, from which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling. Vain jangling. You know, you could go back, I don't know if you were raised in a church, but, and some churches are not bad, but some churches just teach wacky stuff. There's a one particular denomination, Michelle and Jim saw, they believed that there were dinosaurs on the ark. You know, and I mean, they're just committed to it, and they believe it with their whole heart. You know, I don't really care.
Oh,
and there's some religious, some Christians that believe that aliens came. You know, today that's being pushed by the government, isn't it? Aliens, they're given a credibility all of a sudden. What are some of the great, most popular movies ever made?
E.T.
Yeah, stuff about aliens or outer space, and it's all about, you know, false hopes, false messiahs, saving the world. Craziness. Okay, Jesus Christ already saved the world. All I have to do is believe. From which some have erred, which some have swerved, having turned aside into vain jangling. Verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So there are people out there to teach stuff, but they don't understand what they're teaching even. But they teach it, and they teach it with gusto, and they teach it with commitment, and with excitement and passion, but they don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. You ever hear anybody like that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In the churches.
But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners only, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers, for fathers of murderers, for mothers, for manslaughter slayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. You know what sound doctrine is? It's really cool. The word sound doctrine means healthy or whole doctrine or wholesome. It's the same word that's used in 3 John 2, where it says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. It's the word health. Good doctrine is healthy doctrine. Good teaching is healthy teaching. And if you put healthy teaching in your brain will be healthy and it'll help your body be healthy and your spirit will be healthy. What a great thing. Sound doctrine. It's the word hugiano. Let's go to chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, or believing, the right way of believing, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, some people will do that. Yeah. Then it goes on and says, forbidding to marry. You ever hear of the Shakers? Did you?
Yeah.
You know, their furniture is worth a lot of money. I think there's, well, last time, years ago, there was one lady left that belonged to the Shaker denomination. But they forbid marriage. So now there's no Shakers left. They ran out of steam. They got old and died off, and that was it. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's why we pray and bless the food before we eat. You know, you ask God to bless it, and he does, and then it becomes healthy. How about that? Let's see. If thou put the brethren in remembrance these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith or believing, and of a good or wholesome or healthy doctrine or sound doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And godliness is that true vital spiritual relationship with God, right? More important than the food you eat.
Yes.
Thank you. For bodily exercise profiteth little, or for a little time, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. So there you have it. We're to give attention, and it will deliver us. It will help us. It will keep us healthy and strong. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 1. You know, Paul wrote this to Timothy. Timothy was a minister of the church taken over. And why is he making such a big point of doctrine?
Because
it keeps people healthy. It helps them to believe and to believe rightly so that they could carry on, right? And do it in a healthy and robust way, in a spiritually healthy way. Verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. God's doctrine, God's teaching. That's kind of interesting, you know. Here, word servants is talking about slaves. You know, God gave Paul revelation that if you're a slave, you're to honor your master if he's a believer. I don't know if they weren't believers, but if they were believers, they were to honor them. And by same token, if you go and read in Philemon, he asked Philemon to take care of Onesimus, who was his slave. And Philemon was a believer, and he was to take care of Onesimus like he was his own son. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words or healthy words, sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, the teaching, which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions, strife, words, whereof cometh envy, strifes, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with content is great gain. I'm sure you've run into people that always want to argue about the word, always want to nitpick, always want to cause division, always want to, you know, make a big deal over stuff. And they don't usually know what they're talking about. Well, then we're going to close in Psalm 107. The Word of God is sound doctrine, healthy, wholesome, and it's teaching that brings us healing, deliverance, and wholeness in the body, in the soul, and in the spirit. In Psalm 107, everybody knows this verse. Well, hopefully. It says in verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. He didn't send a vaccine. He didn't send doctors or witch doctors. He didn't send a menu for what kind of food they should eat. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And the word destructions is an interesting word. It means corruptions. You know, and that's what causes destruction of the people, is their corruptions. When they get corrupted, they get taken away from the truth of God's word. That's what'll take them down. That's what takes countries down. That's why Israel got destroyed in the first century by the Roman Catholic Church, because they turned their back on God. See? So God sent his word to deliver his people, to heal his people, to take care of his people, to deliver them from their destructions, from their corruptions, from the things that will take them down. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the great teaching of your word that we've been so privileged and honored to receive, that we do know that it can be rightly divided, that it's simple and beautiful in every way, and that as we look to it, we can see how perfect and wonderful it is. And that we can just stay steadfast on that word. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.